Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series this morning focused on the books of Joshua and Judges from the Old Testament called Wild Kingdom. We'll be in Judges 4 and 5 as we look at two extraordinary women of faith that God used to bring peace to Israel for 40 years. Their names are Deborah and Jael. One was the most powerful person in Israel at the time. Jael was just a wife living day to day in lowly circumstances. God used both to defeat the Canaanites. It shows God will use anyone from any walk of life to defeat evil if they are willing to act on their faith and trust God to use them. The story in Judges 4 starts with a familiar phrase found over and over again in Judges. The people did evil in the sight of the Lord. This cycle was repeated multiple times in Judges. The people would fall away from God, be oppressed, cry out to God. God would deliver a godly leader, and peace in the land would follow for many years. It's the same cycle of life all of us fall into from time to time, some more than others. But what we see in this story is the wonderful grace of God when we come to Him in repentance and humility. When we put our faith in Jesus, He brings peace to our lives till we walk into eternity. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For He Himself is our peace, and who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Turn to Jesus today and let His forgiveness and grace bring you peace with God the Father. Peace to all of you listening this morning and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a blessed week and thank you for listening.
Christ is in our midst.
Let us worship.
Our children's choir, God's Singers, sing Hey-O. Morning scriptures.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 89, verses 1 through 8. The Lord's agreement with David. Our Lord, I will sing of your love forever. Everyone yet to be born will hear me praise your faithfulness. I will tell them God's love can always be trusted, and His faithfulness lasts as long as the heavens. You said, David, my servant, is my chosen one, and this is the agreement I made with him. David, one of your descendants will always be king. Our Lord, let the heavens now praise your miracles, and let all of your angels praise your faithfulness. None who live in the heavens can compare with you. You are the most fearsome of all who live in heaven. All the others fear and greatly honor you. You are Lord God, all-powerful. No one is as loving and faithful as you are. Our second reading comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. When Christ returns. My dear friends, we always have good reason to thank God for you, because your faith in God and your love for each other keep growing all the time. That's why we brag about you to all of God's churches. We tell them how patient you are and how you keep on having faith, even though you are going through a lot of trouble and suffering. All of this shows that God judges fairly and that he is making you fit to share in his kingdom for which you are suffering. It is only right for God to punish everyone who is causing you trouble, but he will give you relief from your troubles. He will do the same for us when the Lord Jesus comes from heaven with his powerful angels.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, God Singers. We're going to be starting a new series today. We're going to be in the books of Joshua and Judges. My confirmands would know where that's at. They're learning the books of the Old Testament. So Joshua and Judges, they're kind of in between the first five books, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That first five books, your patriarchs, your Moses, your Abraham, your Noah, kind of those ones, those patriarchs of the faith. And it's before the time of David, when the kings take over. And I kind of entitled the sermon series Wild Kingdom because it was a chaotic time. The nation of Israel was trying to form itself. I don't know how many people remember the show we would watch. I think it was on Saturdays or Sundays sometimes. Marlon Perkins, Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom. Do you remember ever watching that show? I forget what time it came on, but you know, Marlon would be safe and sound back in his trusty vehicle, and his buddy Jim would be out there fighting the beasts of the field. All right, and you know, Marlon would be very calm about Jim being almost, you know, captured and devoured by whatever animal he is out there in the wilderness with. But it was called Wild Kingdom because, you know, they went out into places that, you know, we could never dream of going or we just heard about. Well, that's kind of the Israelites here. They were leaving, you know, their time. They had left Egypt. They had left slavery. They were getting ready to walk into the promised land, and they were trying to form themselves, trying to figure out who they were and put their nation together. It was a chaotic time that God brought certain people to be leaders and help them in their times of trouble. And as we look at this story, we're going to be looking at four different characters the next four Sundays. And this Sunday, we're going to look at a character that should get a lot more publicity. There should be a lot more said about this character of the Bible, Caleb. He's only mentioned 31 times in Scripture, but he's one of the two people that stood up to thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to say, no, we need to do this against much opposition. And he was one of only two people of his generation that got walk into the promised land, only along with Joshua. We hear about Joshua all the time, but we very rarely hear about Caleb. But when we look at the story of Caleb, his life answers two questions for us. When we look at his life and we read his story, we're going to be in Joshua 14 and maybe a little bit of 15. I'm going to encourage you to read Numbers 13 and 14 as well. And then I'm going to read a little bit of Deuteronomy chapter 1 to kind of get the bookends of Caleb's life. But his life answers two questions for us. One, how do we handle unfairness? When things unfair happen in our lives. And the second question is, how do we handle waiting for something that's a long way off in the future? You know, if you want to teach your children, if you want to learn about unfairness, play Candyland with your grandkids, okay? Get Candyland. If you've never played it, go buy it. Get it out with your kids or your grandkids, and you will learn about unfairness. because it's a simple game. It's just a color-based game. You get a yellow, you put your thing to yellow. If you get double red, you go two spaces to the next red. But there's these terrible little creatures in there with these little cars that have different pictures of candy on them. And then there's one that's awful. It's called the plum. I hate the plum. Me and Baylor were playing yesterday. We were playing Candyland yesterday. And man, I got all the way to the very end. I was on the red square. All I needed to do was get the purple, one more purple, and I would win. And Baylor was coming up on me close. And I pulled the card out, and it was the plum. The plum sends you all the way back to the beginning. I say, I hate the plum. I hate the plum because I have to start all over again. And Baylor was giddy. She thought for sure that she was going to win. And she got all the way up there. She got the candy cane. And man, she stomped off. She says, I hate this game. She says, I'll never play it again. She comes back 5 minutes later. We play again. And she beats me that next time. She's got her arms up. She says, I'm the winner. And I'm the winner. And she's dancing all over the place. When we look at Candyland, it tells us about unfairness. Man, we're right there. We're ready to cash in on what we've been waiting for. And then something, you know, totally out of our control sends us all the way back to the beginning. But it's also hard to wait for something that we've been looking forward to, isn't it? Man, my grandson Gannon, he woke up this week and he told his mom, he says, it's my half birthday. I deserve a present on my half birthday. He wants a Mizzou jersey. He wanted Mizzou jersey. He told his mom first thing in the morning, he woke up and said, I want a Mizzou jersey. And I asked Gannon, I said, which number do you want? Do you want number 3 or number 12? I said, do you know who number 12 is? And he told me, Brady Cook. He knew exactly who number 12 was. But he told his mom, he says, you know, I want this jersey and I expect it with me when I get home from school later in the day. Because he didn't want to wait for that number 12 jersey. He wanted something that he thought he should have. Well, his mom got him a little t-shirt, I think a Mizzou shirt, that he liked. It kind of subsided him. But he's waiting for Christmas. We talked about Christmas. He wants a real football helmet. And his mom and dad have put a goal out there that he's got to read all these books to earn money to buy this helmet. And they told us what the amount was. Gannon does not understand why he has to wait all these months and all this time and do all this work to get something that he wants right now. And when we look at the story of Caleb, we're in the same situation here with Caleb. He was one of the spies. They had gotten out of Egypt. They had gotten out of slavery. They were on the precipice of walking into the promised land. And Moses says, hey, I'm going to send out 12 spies. You guys spend 40 days. Come back and tell me everything that you report. Bring me back evidence of the goodness of the land. So they took one person from each one of the tribes. They picked out a guy named Caleb. They picked out a guy named Joshua along with the other 10. They go in, they spend 40 days, they come back, and they tell the people, it's a wonderful land. It's a great land. They bring back a cluster of grapes that takes two people to carry. And Joshua and Caleb are so excited. They said they can't wait to go into the promised land. But then there was 10 spies that looked at the same thing. They saw the same proof. But they said the giants are big, the people are big, the cities are fortified. It's going to be more than we can handle. The people were on the red square, and all they needed to do was get the purple card to walk into victory. And 10 spies outvoted the 2 spies and said, no, it's too tough. And because of that, God made the people of Israel wait 40 years to get their purple card. They had to go back to the plum. They pulled the plum, and they went all the way back, and had spent 40 years in the desert. So here's Caleb. He had stood up to negativity. He had stood up to peer pressure. He was ready to be the leader to take the people in. And then because of other people and their negativity, he had to spend 40 years in the desert. But before they went into the desert, before that happened, God gave Caleb a promise. You'll turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 1. God tells this to the people. Start with verse 26. He says, but you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. Those were, they think, the ancestors of Goliath's people. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as you did for me, for you in Egypt, before your very eyes. And in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you As a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God. You went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard that what you had said, he was angry and solemnly swore, "No one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly." You're going to hear that term, follow the Lord wholeheartedly. So because of their unbelief, because of not trusting in the God that they'd seen him part the Red Sea, they had seen him deliver him the 10 plagues out of Egypt, they had seen him give him the food that they needed, the quail and the manna from heaven. They had seen the pillar of fire, they had seen him do great things. They came to that moment when they were ready to walk into the promised land, and their fear overtook them. And because of that, God said, for every day that you are in there, you're going to spend 1 year in the desert. And everybody 20 years and older would die in the desert. They would never see the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. Not even Moses. Moses got to see it from afar. He got to look and see possibly what he could have had. But only Joshua and Caleb were going to be the ones that could walk into the promised land. But they had to wait 40 years. And then when it came that time, they had to battle 5 more years against the people that were living before they can even have the land that God had promised them. When we look at the life of Caleb, we see that he answers those questions. What do we do with unfairness? What do we do when we have to wait for something that desperately we are looking forward to? Well, we see how it happens. We turn to Joshua chapter 14. 45 years has gone by now, and Joshua and Caleb are there, the last two of their generation. They've had to watch their friends, their ancestors, their relatives all die around them over 40 years. Now it's just him and Joshua. When we come to Joshua chapter 14, if you want to follow along, we're going to start with the 6, the day that Caleb has waited for, 45 years. It says, "Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as that day Moses sent me out. I'd like to know what he ate and drank for 45 years. I'm just as vigorous then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel," let's say it together, "wholeheartedly." So how in the world did Caleb stay positive? How did he stay focused for 45 years? Number one, Caleb realized that others are going to cause us pain that we don't deserve. He realized very early, he said, "I had nothing to do with this. This is not my fault. But if it had been me, I would have griped and groaned for 40 years. You know, the 10 spies, they didn't live very long. Much after that report, much after the rebellion, those 10 spies were killed off by the Lord. They were gone. But I would have grumbled. I would have groaned. I said, man, it's not my fault. I would have complained. I would have tried to bargain with God. Hey, keep those guys away, but let me and my family go in. We see Paul had to deal with the same thing. At the end of his life, he tells the people that he's writing in 2 Timothy, he says, "Alexander the metalworker did me great harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message." Paul and Caleb both realized, I'm going to turn that over to God. I'm going to let God deal with those people. I'm going to let God handle those situations. I'm not going to let it affect my joy. I'm not going to let it take away the things I'm facing in my life. But the thing that you're going to learn about negative people, they distort God's truth. What was the report of the 10 spies when they came back? They said they've got walls that what? Go up to the sky. Their walls didn't go up to the sky. Man, they had seen the 10 plagues. They'd seen God deliver. But negative people distort God's truth. That's why we've got to be focused on God's word and know what God's words say to us. But then something else we can take away from Caleb's faith is number two, others have seen heaven and have reported back to us the greatness of heaven. The spies, those 40 spies were the 10 spies were, or 12 spies were the ones that had seen the promised land. They came back with the news, trying to convince the people of how great it was. We have the same thing. We have spies that have gone to heaven and have reported back. John got to see it firsthand in Revelation 21 and 22. He tells us in 22, he says, man, I saw the river of life. The angel showed me the throne of God. He showed me the Lamb. He showed me all this tree of life that stretches. There was no more curses. He saw all the people serving God in the city. We will see his face and his name will be on our foreheads. There won't be any more night. We will not need the light of a lamp. We won't need a flashlight. We won't need the sun. For the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, man, I saw the greatest thing ever. And he reports back to us. This is what we have waiting for us. We're on the red square, getting ready to walk in. All we need is to put down our purple card. We've got to believe the reports that have gone on before us. Peter said it this way. He has given us birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming salvation that is ready to be revealed at that last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. I know when we're going through grief, we're going through difficult times, it doesn't seem like a very little while, does it? It seems like every second, every hour, every minute lasts forever and ever. But our ones that have gone ahead of us tells us and reports this, what they have seen is greater than we could ever even imagine. But what do we do till then? We have to stay busy in God's kingdom, be ready to claim his promises. Caleb stayed busy. He exercised. He stayed strong. He served in his community. He helped those who were around him. He watched families lose loved ones. I'm sure he was there right next to them, helping them in their grief. He stayed active and stayed in service for the Lord. See, heaven is our motivation to serve him. What do we do until we make that step? We close our eyes on this side of heaven. We wake up on that side of heaven. We have to stay busy in God's kingdom to claim his promises. Caleb also shows us that we're never too old to make new conquests of faith in God's power. I know I'm not the same energy as I was when I was 40. I'm 57. I'll be 58 in April. I have to take little cat naps every now and then just to kind of get my energy back, but I don't go as long, and I can't do all the things that I once did. But God uses his power in us to make conquests of faith. No matter what age you are, no matter if you're 85, 90, 95, God has things for you to do to pray for people, to serve people, to contact people. Just like Caleb, they were ready to go in God's service. But to do that, we need to remind ourselves of God's past victories to keep our faith strong. Faith requires a good memory. Something I want you to do this week, I want you to write down 3 to 5 things that where you've seen God work in your life. You know it's totally God supporting you, encouraging you, bringing you through the storms of life. Write down 3 to 5 things on a card, stick it in your wallet. And when you start to get discouraged and wonder if God's have a purpose, if God loves you, bad things start, I want you to pull that card out. Those spies forgot about the goodness and the greatness of God. I think this passage of scripture here, 2 Corinthians 4, I think Caleb wrote this through the Apostle Paul. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Caleb knew that what was around him was not what he was looking forward to. And that's the same way with us. We are setting a legacy for future generations. Are we leaving them a physical inheritance? Are we leaving them a spiritual inheritance? When we read in Judges next week, you're going to see that Caleb's son-in-law, Othniel, is one of the first judges that God calls to lead his people in time of crisis, because Othniel had seen Caleb all those years in and made an impact on his life that he was ready to lead when God called him. What kind of faith example are you setting for your children, your grandchildren, for the people, the young married couples of this church? Do they see a legacy that is being a legacy of faith that's ready to claim the promises that God has given us? We also see from Caleb's life that many times the majority is wrong in the plans of God. We've got high school students, we've got middle school students, we've got college students in here. Peer pressure is even tougher now than it once was. We've got Facebook, Twitter. I'm so far behind. I don't know what other things are out there, social media. There's so much peer pressure to follow the crowd. It takes strength to stand up. But the majority is not always right in God's kingdom. We saw that with Caleb and Joshua. The majority voted to say, stay right here. Let's go back to Egypt. People see the giants in their lives, and they feel like the giants are going to overwhelm them. Caleb saw the giants, but he believed his God was bigger. Caleb saw the giants and said, no contest for my God. No contest for my faith and my God together. The giants that we face seem to overwhelm us. They seem to be constantly at our door. But when we're with God, we're always in the majority. One little small takeaway is that service in God's kingdom doesn't always come with worldly recognition. I don't see a book of Caleb in the Bible. He was just as faithful as Joshua, but Joshua gets all the pub. He's the one that walked around Jericho. He's the one that's got a song sang about him. He's the one that we all remember. He's got a whole book, 24 chapters in the Old Testament. Caleb, what does Caleb get? Caleb could have mumbled around and said, well, what's Joshua got that I don't got? He didn't care. God promised me my land, and my focus is on that land, and that's where I'm going to be, and that's what I'm going to do. Because he was in the service of the king. And how did Caleb accomplish all of this? Because he served the Lord what? Wholeheartedly. I like how the Message says it. The Message Bible says he was all for God, heart and soul. There was no doubt, there was no waiver, there was nothing to kind of push him from one side to another. That term wholeheartedly is a nautical term for a ship that's going right into the storm, right in the danger. I don't care what the others say. I know my God is with me. I'm headed this way. I'm going to serve the God with all my heart and all my soul. The problem is when we take our eyes off of the captain of the ship, isn't it? That happened to Peter. He's walking on water doing fine. What did he do? Took his eyes off Jesus. And he started to sink. Caleb received God's promise because he was faithful under pressure. He was faithful his whole life, and he was ready to do a battle against his enemies that were ready to face him and keep him from the promises that God had promised him. Jesus has already defeated our two greatest enemies, death and Satan. But there are still enemies that come to our door. The enemy of grief, the enemy of addiction, the enemy of fear, the enemy of turning my life over to the Lord and losing control, the enemy of materialism, the enemy of power, the enemy of unforgiveness. God is in the business of defeating giants. But you got to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. How did Caleb have that faith? Number one, he had God's presence in his life. We have that with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Caleb, remember, he had seen God work all through his life. He could draw on a deep memory bank. Man, you thought it was bad. He could tell that generation, you don't know bad. I was in Egypt. I was under the Egyptians. All right, I was a slave at one time. You think it's bad now? You have no idea. But you should have seen those 10 plagues, man. You should have seen the night, the death of the firstborn, Passover. If you had any doubt, it was resolved right then to know that the Lord was in control. And then finally, Caleb remembered God's promises, victory and blessing. You just got to hold on till that purple card shows up. Don't get discouraged if you get a plum or you get a candy cane. You got to go all the way back to the beginning. reshuffle the deck, keep turning the cards over, and eventually God's going to play that card when you walk into the promised land.